Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how the world unfolds and mirrors the what we see happening in the planets. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm joined by Mark.
Mark Waltz in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And Ann Ortley might join us later. Do you know if she's here back, or is she?
She's back from Florida. And,
okay.
I don't know. Hopefully she'll be on momentarily. Okay.
Wonderful. And how was your Valentine's Day, the Aquarian holiday of theoretical love?
Theoretical love.
Mm-hmm. We theoretically love each other, or we
right.
show our love. Or I always think of the original form of giving out cards to all the people in our grade was a good example of an Aquarian version of the holiday when we were little kids.
Right. Yeah, not so much the one-to-one romance, right?
Right. That's not Aquarian.
Yeah.
And once upon a time in the early Roman version, the Lupercalia, I gather single women put their name in a pot and other people pulled it out one at a time. And men would pick out a name and they would pair off. They would put it on the altar of Juno. So it was theoretically wearing preparing up. It wasn't about celebrating love that already was. It was about creating new connections, which
right.
I thought was an interesting version.
Mm-hmm.
So how was your Valentine's Day?
Oh, good.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I find that if people get too theoretical, too idealistic about it, they're often disappointed. That's why I'd say, you know, find a good way of expressing yourself on Valentine's Day that's other than it's been. And what an interesting political week it is. We've got Venus and Mars both in Aries, and Mars coming to conjunct Uranus and oppose Jupiter as Jupiter and Uranus oppose each other next week. The Sun will be heading into Pisces and coming to conjunct Neptune, so no one's going to be thinking realistically, but everybody's going to be just, you know, sparking off left and right. That should be an
yeah.
interesting time.
Yeah.
How are you seeing the aspects reflected in daily life around you there in New York?
Well, actually, I see it as people are living on high alert, basically.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And that's very Mars coming to conjunct Uranus and both Venus and Mars
yes.
in Aries. How do you see the high alert showing?
Just everybody paying attention to everything, very very close attentiveness,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of polarization. People are
mm-hmm.
taking a stance, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's tricky.
Right.
Yes, I agree that there's a lot of emotional charge now. This fight for freedom with Jupiter, we think of as the freeing planet, opposed Uranus and Mars, is a kind of a competitive, you know, catalyst. I'm seeing this coming out in the headlines for sure, but I'm also seeing whenever people are getting emotional, whether it's they're laughing or they're falling in love or they're going off, have talked about something that was a misunderstanding, their emotional charge can feel like they're sitting on a geyser. And so they're just very volatile. You know, in the best and worst of ways. And I think it's good for us to notice this in our personal life so we don't take it so seriously. Not that we can't use it, not that it is important, but if you see the pattern, you may not take your own moods quite so seriously, even if it's about politics. Don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, I think so. It reminds me, did you happen to see the moon for the eclipse on Friday?
I didn't get a chance to see it. It was overcast here. Did you?
Yeah, we had kind of moving clouds, and so it was uncovered for brief periods. And I did see it. It was really quite nice. It was like you could see the moon, but it had a ring around it.
And how did you, it was like a snow ring. Did you feel, how did you notice the eclipse? Did you feel it, or did you see it around you?
I didn't particularly feel that it, that that day was any different from the other days. You know, I think it's just such a highly charged energy in the air right now that one, you know, one particular day didn't make the difference.
But it's been interesting to watch that this week as, you know, Trump's family, I mean, the government is showing some real cracks this week. Often an eclipse will speed up a process that's already in motion.
Yes.
And it tends to, you know, things that are overripe fall into place. So he's lost two cabinet members this week, and a lot of information is cracking open in an interesting way.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that eclipses, often I see, you know, relationships that need to be separated often separate during this time, or, you know, you suddenly realize that you didn't get into a school or some, there's a, like a wake-up call, a bit like the Tower card in the Tarot, in that, you know, it's the falling of the Tower of False Sciences. Something that was an illusion falls down. Not for everybody, but often if it's hitting right on your chart. So it seems to have affected this particular crew of people with that process of just, you know, the wake-up call, the falling down, not by a long shot of all of it.
Yeah, well, eclipses are really good for blocking things out and making changes. So something that was there is gone. And it can happen very easily. There's not, you know, a huge struggle a lot of times. Eclipses just make things happen very, very, very quickly.
They do. And in the long run, I usually look back at them and say, you know, that was unpleasantly quick, but it wasn't inappropriate that it happened. You know, that it always feels like something that needed to happen anyway.
Right.
An eclipse.
Yeah, now, often we don't know at the time. So it feels catastrophic as you go through it. And then, as you say, when you look back, you can understand why it happened.
Right. And that it was often a miracle that it didn't happen earlier.
Right.
Now, Jupiter is opposing Uranus as Mars conjuncts Uranus, you know, and that Mars-Uranus conjunction is in Aries next week. And that can be a little explosive. That can be a lot explosive. It can give us the energy, like any explosion, to do something. I'm a little worried about how the fallout's going to be on that.
Right.
Now, Jupiter and Uranus, when they interact, we often see, you know, technological leaps forward. And we don't hear about them until they go into production months later, but we often hear about breakthroughs, you know, technological breakthroughs that come in as Uranus opposes Jupiter. And Mars conjunct Uranus often brings about mechanical genius.
Right.
And or mechanical failures. Anne here. Finished a call. Yeah.
Hey, Anne. Hi. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
Anne Orley from New York at the Bright Red Desk. Yay.
Okay.
Yay. Gang's all here. So we were talking about that coming lineup, and I'm looking at the mechanical failure around the dam and a couple of other places of infrastructure that are wearing deeply. What are you seeing with that opposition, the Jupiter-Uranus opposition with Mars coming to conjunct it next week?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, we were watching the, you know, the T-square with Pluto in it shoots the energy towards the Cancer house. Which, of course, is you watch that water coming down the hill in California, and you're like, that is fresh water going down the hill, going towards the houses. And, of course, Vesta is out of bounds in the receiving end, so it's going to be out of bounds water coming at it. I've had a lot of clients talk about water heaters blowing up or having floods in their basements or having leaks. So you want to kind of watch the water energy, and you want to watch the Cancer house in everybody's chart. In my chart, the Cancer house is my employees and me, my sixth house. So both of my employees have had stuff going on with their health or with their family members' health, and I got a new cat. So it's kind of like there's abundance in the Cancer house, and then, of course, people are responding with their moon energy, like, oh, gee, I'm feeling really bad, I want to eat candy, or, oh, gee, I'm feeling really bad, I want to go and run, or, oh, gee, I'm feeling really bad, time to go to bed for like a month. So I think the energy of water is abundant, and watching where that Cancer energy is in your chart and then watching what your moon's response is, because the Cancer house is getting triggered. But I think the Mars coming along and zapping that Uranus, and then, of course, Venus is going to go back and forth. Mars is going to land on the station degree of Venus in a couple of days, and that's also a trigger because Venus is going to station at 15. And so Mars is going to trigger it, and then Venus is going to trigger it. So it's definitely hot energy. Plus, it's Mars square Pluto, which is war, you know. So somewhere there's going to be a fight. If there's not already, you know, it seems like everybody's fighting, you know. So
Yeah, if you notice a fight breaking out, don't get involved.
Right. Back away.
Stand back from the dogfight.
Stand back.
And choose carefully what you choose to react to. Sometimes we need to go out, yell, throw rocks, and come back in, not at anybody. But, you know, vent, because that Aries energy can go through really without thinking. It just can flush through us.
Yep.
And it's good to go vent and then talk to the person so that the extra energy needs to come out of us, but it doesn't need to land in their lap.
Right.
And it's easy to say things that we will regret. And often we're shooting off without clear information. And that will intensify next week as that lineup starts to tighten and the sun moves into a conjunction with Neptune.
Right. And also Mars is going to go through we've been watching the moon go through this over the last few weeks. You know, the moon hits that T-square and sets it off, and there's always something big in the news. So when Mars goes through it, we can really expect some decent fireworks because he's the planet of war and he's in his favorite sign. So he's going to square Pluto, and then he's going to whack Uranus, and then he's going to whack Jupiter. And we're going to be like, wow, that was – and he hits Eris, the goddess of discord. So we've got a lot of volatility right now. And then he's going to trine Saturn. And then Venus, of course, just kind of plays in this area, teasing with them all. As she gets ready to approach her retrograde, so it's a hot spring. So I'm just I hope it shows up for me as exercise. That's what I'm hoping. You know.
And how's your new cat? Speaking of exercise,
Actually, he's doing pretty good. He has we're still having a little food issues. Meaning, Max, my Taurus with the Pisces moon, is like no. So I made the mistake the other day of putting Barclay's food down first. So Max was like right over there, and I went to move him over to his bowl, and he went, and I'm like, oh, don't go growling at me, you know. Like, I'm bigger than you, but he was like, and he was guarding three bowls. So, you know, my assistant Kate fed him, you know, we feed Barclay a little to the side. We have not integrated litter boxes yet, but there are no fights, and
that's
everybody
good.
Seems to be good. But Barclay also, I think he's got a sight vision issue, meaning he doesn't really see so good. So my piano teacher came in this morning, you know, and Joseph's an Aries Sag mix, so he kind of arrives with a clash and a bang, and Barclay, like, took off for the bedroom. He was like, I don't know what the hell just came in the house, but I'm hiding. And he was out of the living room in like 30 seconds. And Joseph is a piano tuner as well as a piano teacher. Mm-hmm. So he wheels his tools with him. So not only was it Joseph, the noise of Joseph, but there was Joseph's luggage arriving at the same time. So it was good.
And
everybody, you know, we're all adjusting.
Everybody is, that when people have an emotional response, it tends to be, you know, 0 to 60 in no time with
mm-hmm.
Venus
yeah.
and Mars and Aries, you know, whether
yep.
it's they fall in love, they hate, they're furious, and they're reacting to without a full picture of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's just very volatile. And, you know, and they're laughing, they're, you know, great conversations, but it's just a high volume of reaction.
Yeah.
So I can imagine bringing a new cat into the house in the midst of that is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's been very good. He's pretty mm-hmm. good shape. Max is my Taurus. Remo doesn't care. He's been watching the snowflakes fall,
mm-hmm.
but Max has been a little more. He's territorial. He's Taurus, you know, and I'm
mm-hmm.
his woman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pet the other cat, he's like right over there going, "What are you doing petting him?" And I'm like, you know,
mm-hmm.
come on, let me pet him. He's an old guy, you know. And he's like, "Arr." So we're definitely having a little. I'm feeling very, feeling a little controlled, frankly, you know, by
mm-hmm,
my friggin'
mm-hmm.
cat. But that's all right, you know. It's what
yeah,
they're supposed
make,
to do.
Yeah, you make
know, means they love you.
Make
you
sure
know,
that
yeah.
you're the alpha.
I'm the alpha. Well, I'm not the alpha. I'm clearly aware of the fact that
yeah.
I'm not the alpha.
Right.
I am the
Max
wench.
Is the alpha.
I am the food serving wench. So, and
making
I never realized Max felt this way about me before, but now that I know, he's like, no, you're my woman. I'm not sharing you with
you're
this
my
other
wench.
Guy.
Right.
You're my wench. I'm
yeah,
not sharing you.
Right.
I mean, I
yeah,
knew with Handsome
funny.
I was the wench, but clearly Max picked up the wench thing from Handsome, and he's been very nice, and I hadn't realized how territorial he was until Barkley
mm-hmm,
came to town.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody
yeah.
seems to be good, and my sister called the other day, and he could hear his voice, so she came kind of over
mm-hmm,
to check
mm-hmm.
her out, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
so he's
mm-hmm.
hanging in. So,
mm-hmm.
and we had piano lessons today, and all the cats were out for the piano lesson, except Barkley. The other two were out and dancing around. So, you know, everybody seems to be getting along. So, and I'm going away for the weekend anyway, so if they fight this weekend, I don't know, you know,
you
going down to Baltimore for the conference, huh?
Yes, I hear that you're heading down to the conference,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
then let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing in
our progressive move
there
thing,
in
right.
New York.
March 11th
yes.
and March 12th.
March 11th and March 12th. We have it up on the web on my website, and it's up on
mm-hmm.
our Facebook
mm-hmm.
page, and I posted on my Facebook page. We're having progressed moon. It's what'd you call it, Mark? Journeying to the moon and flying by the asteroids. So Mark wrote the
asteroids.
Copy. Fly by asteroids. So Mark, give it a whirl. Tell them what we're doing.
We're looking at the moon in three ways of using it. The progressed moon, which is really an interesting thing to follow, and
mm-hmm.
because it's kind of a month by month reading on what's going on for somebody. And the nodes of the moon, which have a lot to do with destiny and karma, and how to read them in the chart. And what's our other moon thing? The eclipses.
Eclipses,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And how to work with eclipses.
Mm-hmm.
And then aside from that, we're going to look at asteroids and get an idea of how asteroids can help in a reading. So all of it is meant to get us looking at charts and preparing for readings and finding out how to use these techniques in a reading to just build dimension.
Mm-hmm. And they really work. I mean, this evening I did a reading with a couple, and he had the asteroid Icarus on his Jupiter.
Uh-huh.
So I said that to him, and he goes, "Oh, Icarus, eh?" And I went, "Yeah." And he had Jupiter in the Jupiter and Pisces, I think it was, or Cancer, Jupiter and Cancer, on Icarus. And he said, "Yes, I know that myth." And I said, "Oh, what do you, and he said, "Well, you know, if you fly, you know, you did the whole fly high." I said, "Well, there's also the fly low part." He goes, "Well, I did the fly high part. I had a real coke problem when I was younger." And I've been sober now 10 years, and but I definitely flew a little high and I crashed to Earth.
Mm.
And I'm like, "Whoa, okay." So he was totally tuned into that myth as part of his story. You know, and I said, they're really interesting because they do very often reflect some big thing about your path or your life or where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is, and it is pretty amazing how well they work.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon, again, I find so often that people who rush ahead and have studied and studied astrology but haven't done a million charts, they underestimate how important the sun and the moon are in the chart and in the progressions, in the eclipses, in the natal chart, the aspects from it. Everything comes from the luminaries. You know, all the light the rest of the planets reflect come from the sun, and the moon talks about the interior version of it. So we're going to have a good time with the moon. We'll make you feel at home in your in our moon class.
Right.
That's right.
And also,
come on down to New York.
Come on to New York, and as the closest body to our Earth, you know, the moon moves the friggin' oceans. And, if it moves an ocean, it's enormous, the impact in our lives. Yeah.
It's
just enormous.
And it's our doorway to the rest of the universe.
Yes,
I think
totally.
Of it. And so we look forward to that. If anybody would like to come on down, you can go to Eventzilla and search for Access Astrology, and you will find us.
Mm-hmm. And it's on my website, astroian.com. You can log in there, and it's on my Facebook page. And I don't know if we used to have a Facebook page with Access Astrology. I'll look, but we should maybe set one back up again.
We're getting
a little bit back into marketing. So it's on sale through the end of the month, and then the price goes up in March, and then it's highest at the door. So do sign up now before now and the end of the month. So.
And we have several people online who'd like to talk to us tonight. Take one caller hold on. Hello, 585, you're on the line. How can we help you?
Hi, it's Aeolia, and it's birthday season. 2/14. February 14th, 1951. That's 5/1.
Happy
Evergreen
birthday.
Park.
And
thank you.
Yes. What time?
9:06 a.m. Evergreen Park, Illinois.
Okay.
I'd love to talk about the solar return, see what you see.
Okay.
Or talk about my progressed moon. I don't care.
And, you know, what a solar return is, and there's several ways of doing it, whether you process correct or not, but we're following the, doing a chart for this time of year, and where were you when you had your solar return? Where were you on your birthday?
Rochester, New York.
You in Rochester, New York. Because we do a relocation chart to that place. Some people go back to where the person was born. Most of us relocated chart for the time of the birth. And some people travel all over the world to be in a place where their solar return hits in good houses. Though I haven't seen that being terribly effective. I think it might be part of the making the great statement in our life, the ritual of traveling around the world for an intention will set in a lot.
I think Ann tried that a couple years ago. How'd it work out, Ann?
Sucked.
That's what I remember.
I was trying to avoid Saturn. You can't avoid Saturn.
No, you can't.
No.
It was a good option. I thought, well, this is the one I'll try it on, and I went, nah, I'm not doing this again.
Well,
that didn't work.
It's not observers, right? I mean, you have to be able to observe. And
Well, I mean, I was totally up for doing Saturn, but it ended up showing up as a health issue. Is the way it showed up in my. And a little too much excess in Vegas. I went to Vegas and a little too much. It was fun, but it was, nope, didn't work out. I was, I wouldn't do it again.
Travel for your birthday, for your solar return.
I mean, maybe if I had, you know, Pluto and Saturn and everything sitting around on my moon or something, I might. But it was really, you know, I changed it to Sun Jupiter, which was nice, but it was too much excess. And I'm still recovering from it. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah,
wasn't a good thing to do. You know, if you're a Saturn girl, you're really not supposed to go to your Jupiter sun line.
Yeah, it's I agree. I think that you have to go back to your Saturn return, and I still think transits and progressions beat out a solar return, but the solar return is fascinating.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing here on your natal chart, you know, so many changes this year as Uranus is coming to conjunct your ascendant. It is at 21 degrees now. I have your ascendant down at 22 Aries.
And this is the third path.
Yeah, and it's going back and forth, changing who you are, how you feel. Your progressed moon is now 27 Libra. There's 30 degrees to a sign, so it's almost out of Libra. It will be in another 4 months. But while it's been going back and forth, while Uranus has been going back and forth over your ascendant, it was opposed the moon. Now the moon's pulling away, and you're heading into a Scorpio moon, to a much more focused, concentrated, less sociable, but often deeply, richly interesting time. And did you have any particular questions about your next year?
Well, the solar return I look at is all up in, like, the fourth quadrant, not unlike, mostly the fourth quadrant, not unlike my natal chart. And, you know, I certainly have been more sociable, and I have been teaching. I've started to teach basic astrology.
Oh, good. That's a great thing.
Yeah, yeah, and well-received. You know, in week two of the first 6 weeks, they wanted to know if I'd do it and extend it another 6 weeks after we were done with the first 6 weeks. So, yeah, things are going well in that regard. And, you know, I still
do you use precession corrected?
I don't know that phrase. I don't have solar fire, so I go to astro.com, and I don't know that phrase.
Okay. That it adjusts for the change as our solar system moves through the cosmos. Some people prefer solar returns with precess corrected, and some don't. And how do you feel about that?
I look at both of them, but I'm in a group that, you know, the group likes to look at both of them. So when we do them, we do somebody's birthday chart, we look at both. So basically, every 72 years, you know, you get a new, the sun moves a degree. So it adjusts for where the sun would be now. And because you're older than 35, precess corrected means you're halfway towards 72. So the precess corrected makes you have a, makes it be the 14th at 8:19 in the morning. So if you cast that chart, that one is very active first quadrant, meaning the Venus and Mars and Uranus and Aries are all
moving
in the first.
And
then instead of having the Virgo moon, you have the moon in Libra in the 7th. So it's a much more relationship-based chart. You know, the natal, though, it shows the natal solar return with the sun in the 11th shows the working in the Aquarian group. But the Mercury and the Pluto's up there in the 11th house of working in the group. And it's good. I mean, it's both of them are nice. Saturn puts the precess puts Saturn at the top of the chart, saying, you know, you're claiming your authority as an astrologer, which I think is lovely. You know?
Yeah, I have found this that precess corrected seemed to fit better when I look back at the years behind. Now, unfortunately, where our time is up, we wish you a very happy birthday, and we hope this brings you all kinds of exciting teaching experiences.
Thank you.
I love that you're teaching. I think it's great. Yes.
For everybody this week, just enjoy the last of the year, but watch that fire underneath and make sure that you are not being led around by your cats or so much, or, you know, reacting to the world, but to you know, be considered in your reactions to the world. And take good care of yourselves. This is Heather signing off from St. Paul, and Anne?
Anne signing off from New York, and?
And Mark from New York.
And we'll see,
and
we'll see
you,
next week.
Yeah, and sign up for the Moon class. And also, Mark and I teach at Open Center on, and Heather will be teaching
Tuesday
there in March when she's in town. We teach at the Open Center on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8. So this week we did Beyonce and Adele, and everybody really liked them. So, yeah,
that's
we did the divas. It was fun.
Yeah.
And, If you're in the Midwest, the first Tuesday of every month, I'm teaching down at Eye of Horus for a drop-in astrology chart clinic. Come on down. And the meantime,
come on down.
We'll see you next week.
Okay.
All right. Good night. Good night. Bye. Bye.